magic's what we do. For good friends just like you. Here at TAOM.
Well, good morning. This is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and it is day three of the TAOM, and this episode is brought to you again by ThePerfectTrick.com. So, I would like to have you guys make sure, all you listeners, to go out to ThePerfectTrick.com and check out that for your online needs. Would you hit two over there for me? We're on the elevator then right now, actually. And thank you very much. So, we were here now with Jim McPherson. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Scott. What's going on?
Well, we're about to have a good another full day, as we did then yesterday. And you were saying there are reasons why that you come to this convention as being your only one.
Well, you know, the first convention I went to was in Abilene, Texas, and that was a very small, intimate convention. We were taken. Yeah, we were taken to the evening shows by school buses. Right. And I had just moved to West Texas, and as a matter of fact, you had gotten me in. We were in the process of getting our club going.
That's right.
And this was my first magic convention; had never been to one before. And my ex-wife and I, we had so much fun.
Yeah.
And it made such an impression on me that I said, you know what? I'm a teacher. I can afford one magic convention a year.
This is
the one I'm going to. I know when it is every year. It's on Labor Day. Yeah, I think I want to come to this one.
But that first one, was because Marvin Roy was there.
We had so much fun on the bus going over there making Marvin Roy light jokes. Oh, he's the light of his life, et cetera. You know, yeah. Horrible jokes. And we were just, it hooked us right there. And
but you're enjoying this convention.
I am enjoying this convention so much. I have people, I don't know why, come up and say, oh, what was your favorite convention?
Right.
And my answer is always, this one. And they go, well, what about last year? I was like, well, last year when we were in
Frisco.
Thank you. Sorry. People tell me that and go, this is my favorite convention.
Right.
And so my answer to what is your favorite convention is this one.
Whichever one you're at right now.
Whichever one I am at. And next year when we're in San Antonio.
Yeah, it'll be that one.
This is me. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going on down.
All right, Scott.
Wait, I'll go out this way with you then a little bit. We can walk on down, take the escalator.
So whenever I go to a convention at TOM, wherever I am, that's my favorite convention because I get to see people I haven't known. I get to see magicians who I have known, people I've seen on sometimes just YouTube, and I get to meet them. People like Michael Weber, who we have had lecture out there, and you're going, he's still cool.
It's amazing, yeah.
Yeah, he's still great.
Now, on this convention, what'd you think about last evening's show?
Oh, yeah, that was pretty awesome.
Tell people why. What'd you like?
I like the energy, and I like the fact. I thought it was so great when we started letting audience members, people from lay people, come in, and they just add so much to it. There was the energy, again, memory and names and everything. You know me.
Yeah.
But it was.
Well, Paul Draper, who's lecturing right now, was the MC. And then we had Carissa Hendricks, you know, as Lucy Darling.
Oh, my star. She's so crazy. I love her because she makes me look normal, you know. And then it was the husband and wife. I'm sorry, folks.
Memory. Yep, Kyle and Misty Knight.
Yeah. Polished act, perfect act.
Kiko Pastor from Spain.
Yeah. Marvelous, you know.
Linking ring routine.
Beautiful with it floating across to Link. Man, marvelous. Yeah. You know, and so.
And then last night, I didn't stay up late because there were two lectures last night. Shane Cobalt lectured after John Archer.
Which was awesome. His control. Mm-hmm. He did the control thing.
Oh, the zero control, the shuffle, some forces he taught.
And it's just like, oh, man, stop it.
It was boom, boom, boom. It was like trying to drink from a fire hose because he said, don't applaud. I got to keep going.
I got to keep going. And I didn't. And I was just, there were a couple times I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
And I've definitely bought this control book because there were two of them in there that I was like, I want to learn those and I'll remember them. I won't remember them.
And then last night, there was Midnight Madness. Tell me about that.
Oh, God, that was so, I can't remember much because it was so much laughter going in there. There was a guy who, one of the gentlemen, treble hook in his mouth with a bunch of strings coming out of it and kept jerking one at a time.
Wow.
And the girl would just keep pulling, just kept waiting for it to Yeah, and he did. The funniest part was he got to the last two, and he holds up the two strings, and she starts to reach for both of them. He goes, no. But the part that just absolutely killed me was it was towards the end, and there was a guy out here vacuuming, and he had a portable canister vacuum on his back, and it was bothering me. And I hear the door shut, and a couple of minutes later, I hear the door open again, and the vacuum cleaner's like right behind me. And I look behind me, and it's Michael Weber with that canister on his back, vacuuming the back of the theater. And everybody just stops, and they look, and then they suddenly, that's Michael Weber. Oh, my God. And there was laughter, howling, brought everything to a stop. Yeah. And that's what we heard last night. Yeah. Last night, everybody had a blast. It was so much fun. It's typical TAOM night. It was just like, I'm so glad I stayed up for it. I'm paying for it this morning.
I wish I would have. I had only 3 hours sleep the night before, and I thought, I've got to get back, and I want to put this podcast. That was the one thing that I'm missing, because I stayed up till 12:30, and I thought, okay, well, I got to do this. And so I was up again till about 3, finishing this, and got a couple more hours. But I'll sleep when I'm dead. Well, Jim, thanks very much. Appreciate it.
TOM, the best concert that you're
convention.
At. Best convention that you're at.
That you're at. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
That was Jim McPherson for the Magic Word Podcast. Scotty out. All right, well, here we are at the TAOM convention still, and we are on the Sunday morning, and we just finished with Paul Draper's lecture, and it was a lot of fun. And I am here with Mario the Maker. Hi, Mario.
Hey, hello.
And tonight you're going to be a featured guest. Now, you've never been to the TAOM before. This is your first Texas. I mean, you've been to Texas, of course, but not to our conventions.
Yeah, this is. We've been to Texas, but this is my first time here for this convention, and it's been so much fun. We've just had so much fun. There's so many powerhouse lectures, so we've been learning.
What have
lot.
You enjoyed? Who have you enjoyed? What have you gotten some things out of?
Michael Weber is just amazing. Paul Draper, everyone brings a different thing to the table, mm-hmm. So I have my notepad out, my pen, and I'm just taking notes, and it's been, and the gala shows have been really fun too. Yeah.
What I think is kind of interesting is the fact that you haven't been to a convention before, and people who come to this convention a lot of times, this may be their only convention. Mm. They don't go to anything else because they live in Texas or they come here to this regional event.
Right.
The point is that they may not know or recognize you because your face hasn't been on the cover of a magazine here or anything, And so it's not until after tonight's show, kind of like Carissa last night, that people didn't know who she was until afterwards. Like, oh my gosh, And so whenever they see her now all day long, that they're just mobbing her, taking pictures, and that tomorrow may be the same thing with you after people see Mario the Maker and say what a great show that he has. They're going to be saying, oh, so that's who that guy was. I was sitting next to you at the lecture. There were so many questions I could have asked him had I known that.
That's really funny.
But you're going to be doing a lot of things with kids. Are you going to bring the kids down front?
Yeah, so exactly. I think that's the goal. They have this elevated stage, so I'm just going to try to get all the kids to kind of just swarm that stage, on the floor there, and it'll be fun.
And because you're Mario the Maker, your specialty, of course, is robotics.
Right. So basically what I plan on doing is just bringing a couple kids up and honoring them and getting them laughing and excited and doing some magic. And then I'm going to do some of my robots. I have a robotic lamp named Mr. Lamp. He's kind of cool. He's 3 foot
kind of
tall.
Like Pixar thing? Pixar
lamp? Yeah, exactly. Inspiration was from a Pixar thing. And so it'll be really fun. And then tomorrow at the lecture, I'm going to go through all of my robotics and why I'm here and to introduce magicians into DIY electronics,
That sounds cool. You wear like a white robe and everything then? Like a
yeah, I'm like
scientist.
Doc Brown. Yeah, exactly.
Have you been inspired by Doc Brown? It's an interesting analogy.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, people say that I'm like Doc or like Kramer from Seinfeld. I definitely have that.
I can see
weird,
that.
Yeah. Like sporadic, stuff. And that's all from my love for comedy, and all that.
And kids also, and science.
Yeah, 100%. We have 2 kids, too, so, we're big in the kids' world, and that's where we really shine, It's kind of like doing a 45-minute set and trying to make everything homemade, to show everyone that I could do a magic show with things I make, not a single thing that I bought.
And you like to inspire children also to go and learn science and math, and you got some suggestions on some websites, perhaps, where they can go?
100%, yeah. It's all about, for me, it's all about 3D design and 3D printing and microcontrollers. So, and this is stuff that kindergartners, first, second graders can tap into. Mm-hmm. Tinkercad.com is one of the best websites to learn 3D design for kids. That's Tinkercad with a D. And they have, it's free, and there's tutorials right when you start. And it's a powerful tool. It's like virtual Play-Doh. It's
and really Thingiverse, exciting. You said?
Yeah, yeah. Thingiverse.com is basically like the universe of things. So you can search like anything. And it's you can download the design for free. It's an open source community. And that's how you can start building your own magic tricks too, you know? Yeah. You could download like a 3D printed matchbox, you know, and then hack it with Tinkercad. And all of a sudden now you have a gimmick that's custom to you, you know?
Right. That sounds
powerful.
Cool.
It's a powerful tool, you know? Yeah, yeah.
And before we leave that, you were talking also about Conjuring Arts. There was something.
That's right. So with the Conjuring Arts, it's really exciting. It just went live. I'm doing an online course where it's like a once-a-week thing. And basically, you buy a little Arduino kit, and I'm going to rock through how to use the Arduino into the classics of magic and go into Tinkercad and go into anyone who has an idea that they're not able to physically make, maybe because it's too small or it's too intricate, and how you can use 3D design to challenge that, to solve that problem, you know?
That sounds great. Cool.
Yeah.
Now, if people want to find out more about you, what is your website? Where they can go?
Yeah, so you can go to MarioTheMagician.com, or you can find us on Instagram, MarioTheMagician. We post a lot, and you could see all the fun stuff that we do
across the country.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, yeah. We have this old beat up Volkswagen bus, and like, so we take that a lot everywhere, and you'll get to see updates of stuff that's going on.
That sounds great. Well, Mario, thanks very much for your time, and enjoy the convention. Glad you're here.
Thank you so much.
Okay. And so, from the TOM, that was Mario the Maker. Scotty out. Well, I mentioned that we had Paul Draper's lecture earlier this morning, and it was a fine one that covering your eyes. You talk about a blindfold as well as work, as well as a seance and linking rings and some cards and mentalism and a little bit of everything. And we are here with the man himself, Mr. Paul Draper. Hi there, Paul.
Hey there. Thanks for having me back on here, Scott.
You're welcome. It was a few years back in which we did a podcast with you, in which I entitled An Hour with Paul Draper,
yeah.
Which, you know, I wish we could have gone on longer. And we have as friends.
That was 5 years ago. Wow.
Well, yes. Go back in the archives. Need to listen to that to hear more about and from Paul. So glad to have you here. Is this your first TAOM convention?
This is my first TAOM.
Okay, and what are you thinking?
I should have come to the other 69 of them. This is I should have come before birth. It's really great. I mean the shows at this convention, the performers, the lecturers are top class, top quality. It's amazing.
Yeah. And also, it's kind of intimate because we have, I say, so few people. There are 250 people here or so,
right,
as opposed to what we used to have. Conventions in general have kind of been coming down in attendance. But the fact is that you have this kind of intimacy and access, I should say,
absolutely,
to performers like you who are, you know, willing to share with everybody else. And it's, you know, you don't have just a swarm of people, you know, around.
One thing that's hard when people go to a convention in, like, Las Vegas, mm-hmm, is that the headliners come and do their show and do their lecture,
right,
and then they spend the rest of the time in Las Vegas seeing shows.
That's
and going
point.
Off and leaving.
Right.
But when you come to a convention like this here in Houston, the performers do their lecture and then they stay and watch each other's lectures. This
right.
is, unless you want to go see the NASA Space Center, this is the best thing in town, right?
Right? Right.
And so, for us. And so everyone's here and everyone's going to lunch, and every day different people are going to lunch with me and we're spending time, and it's really an intimate, wonderful experience.
Yes, and a lot of fun. Well, you did a great job then emceeing the show last night, and it was a stellar lineup, you know, with Kiko Pastor, who was up with the Linking Rings, kind of a floating thing that he did. And then, of course, Carissa Hendricks as Lucy Darling that just killed. And then to wrap it up with Kyle and Misty Knight, I thought just did a great job.
Oh, that Kyle and Misty Knight, they're an incredible act. I mean, they perform all over the world on cruise ships and in Las Vegas every time. Their show is so tight and so magical.
Yeah.
And she changes costume every single effect. It's something else.
You know, I was sitting next to Chip Romero, when we were talking about that, he said that's her fourth costume change. You know,
right?
I think she did two more after that.
That's right. That's right. And we know there was no repeat of any effects. The show was 74 minutes, tight.
Yep.
It was great. I'm glad people liked it.
Yeah. Now, did you stick up late? I mean, I hung around for a couple of lectures, then I missed the Midnight Madness. Did you see that?
After I was done with the show,
then
John Archer had a lecture from England. He's a phenomenal comedian and mentalist.
Yeah.
I had to stay for that. And then after that, at 12:30 12:30 in the morning is the Midnight Madness show. At 2 a.m., I finally left, and the show was still going on.
Really?
And then I had to be back on stage at 10 a.m. this morning for a lecture. So, I mean, this is a convention where stuff's going from 7 o'clock in the morning until 3 in the morning. Yeah. This is a place to be to experience great stuff.
That's true. That's true. And friendship also.
And you know,
it's a very friendly convention.
Yeah.
So I missed the Midnight Madness. Tell me, what were some of the highlights, or who was on and what happened?
Oh, Michael Weber was on. John Archer. We had Garcia and Alex Rangel. Yep. And it was just Chad Long, who's funny. I mean, and the whole thing was, is everybody did something funny that sort of riffed on magic. Yep. And then did something magical. And so there was, they everybody sort of had two pieces, their magical piece and their mocking piece. Yep. Right. Yep. And so it was just a funny thing. It's its own place where we just sort of laugh at ourselves and have camaraderie. And as an audience, you don't know who's going to get up. It's going to be somebody different jumping up every few minutes to get up on stage.
Well, since this was your first TOM, you're unaware necessarily of the history of that the Midnight Madness actually was started many years ago by Roger Klaus. And what he would do is just call some of his friends and say, you know, I say call him, and whoever was at the convention, you know, we'd be up with him until the wee hours of the morning the night before anyhow. And he'd say, well, tomorrow evening, you know, at midnight, I'm going to have you, you know, do that. I want you to do that trick, you know.
Right.
And it's like pet effects that his friends were doing and saying, okay, Scott, I want you to come and do this, you know, you got like 5 minutes, you know, and then he was the MC, you know, he'd come up. So really, for a while, it was even called the Roger Klaus Memorial Midnight Madness, you know. But different people have hosted that in the past, and so it has continued to be a tradition, you know, here at the
convention. It's great. Yeah. It's great. I think that traditions like that should live and grow and change and, you know, keep going forever, and it's doing a great job.
Well, this convention, you mentioned this was the 70th. Actually, it's the just to correct for history, this is the 70th time since it has been in Houston. It's actually the 73rd official convention. And prior to that, there were a couple of years in which there were picnics. And so then the picnic, I mean, they kind of got together over Labor Day weekend, and then they finally actually put together some bylaws and said, well, let's make this official thing, and made it into an official convention, if you will, after it was a picnic for a little while. So, you know, when we had our 50th anniversary or 50th celebration, different cities were taking the positions like, well, ours is the 50th. No, ours is the 50th, you know. And
because they were all from different starting points.
Yeah,
so that very first year at the picnic, what was your favorite show?
I guess I should say like Santa. Something more, you know, like that then as well. But anyhow, that I just wanted to thank you very much, you know, for coming. And I'm glad that you helped make this such a successful convention as well. And so...
Absolutely love doing it.
Yep.
And please, other people, if you haven't been to TAOM, make sure to come on down.
Yay, Paul Draper! Woo!
And of course, that's our president, Jamie Salinas, right there. Thank you, Jamie. This is Scotty out. And so we'll just have a short time for just a little bit of recording for some content for tomorrow. I'm the host of the MagicWordPodcast.com, and so you guys are enjoying the convention, yes?
Yes.
And so I wanted to just get a couple of ideas. What have been some of the favorite things that you guys have seen at the convention so far? Anybody? What have you seen? What'd you like? Kiko's performance. Kiko's coming up. You've already seen him? Oh, you mean last night's the show? Because he's doing close-up as well. You know, he's one of the close-up guys. You're going to get to see that as well. But, yeah, he did the floating linking rings. Anybody else have some favorites? The what? Kyle and Missy did a great job. Yeah, then last evening.
Trixie did a great job on that.
Trixie Bond, yep. What about anything else? Any lectures, something anybody's learned?
Michael Weber.
Yep.
It's fantastic.
Michael Weber. Yeah, it's great. How many of you guys are here for your first convention, your first TAOM convention? One, two, a couple of you then over there, some in the back over there. What are you guys thinking so far of the convention?
Great.
Yeah, cool. Anything that you would want, who would you want to see next year at the convention? Anybody that, I mean, you see a lot of top talent always at the TAOM conventions, and this has been an exceptional one as well. Is there anybody that you guys would like to see that I can kind of pass on to San Antonio next year? Who? See, enough. You can hear me. Go to the. Yeah. That's right. Phil, what'd you say?
Max Maven.
Max Maven. Be good to hear. Or, come on. Who's that?
Bernard Billis.
Bernard Billis. That's a very good suggestion. We haven't seen him in years and years and years. And so anybody else? And then we'll get ready to going to announce the next guest. Who do you think? Who?
Penn and Teller.
Penn and Teller. Who, by the way, are going to be at the Genie Convention next year in 2019 down in Florida. Seamus, somebody back there said who?
Jeff McBride.
Jeff McBride. That'd be a good one. Anybody else you'd like to see the next year I could pass on? Caesar. Who? Oh, Garrett Thomas. Sorry. Thank you, Caesar. Yeah, Garrett Thomas.
Joseph Gabriel.
That's a great suggestion. I don't think he's been seen at a convention for a while. Great bird act. Anybody else that you guys like to see? Chad Long. Seen enough of him, you know. So that's enough. All right. Well, listen, thank you guys very much. And, again, that we've been posting daily updates from the convention. So if you keep going. Okay. Yeah, okay. 4 minutes. Not a problem. What's that?
3 minutes.
Three. Just pinch me when you're ready. Or just pinch me whenever you want to. That's okay. you had some other people. You said Garrett Thomas and some other people. Other acts of somebody that you haven't seen at a convention. What'd you think of Lucy Darling last night? Yeah, you know, I'm so glad that I twisted Jamie Salinas, the president's arm, to get her to come out. She was had her as a guest on the podcast. So I suggest, again, you go back to themagicwordpodcast.com or go to iTunes, any way you download a podcast. One of my favorites, she had some really interesting things to talk about that apply not only to female magicians, young magicians, but men as well, which is then she now has her own podcast along with Kayla Drescher that's called shezampod.com. And they're on their third one. You mentioned Max Maven, that they just had Max on the most recent podcast. Were there then, too. So there she is back there, Carissa. Thank you very much.
Was she the one she said had a good personality?
The one that had a personality? Yes. That's right. And so, anyhow, that was great. So I'd recommend that this is really interesting. There are a lot of podcasts that you can listen to out there. And so, again, thanks, you guys, for listening. And so what I was saying is that at conventions, I always do, like, daily updates from the convention to kind of give people an idea. So even if they are not here, that they feel as if that it's the next best thing to being here. And so if you are here, you can also hear some of the talent and organizers and some conversations with some other conjurers perhaps you may have missed a little bit deeper. One of the guys that you have not seen yet, but you'll be seeing tonight, is Mario the Maker. And how many of you have seen Mario in the past? How many? Yes, okay. You and me, Carissa, okay. And we've just a couple. After tomorrow, I mean, he's got a lecture tomorrow morning. Now, I know a lot of guys and gals have to go back tomorrow on Monday, but there are two things big happening tomorrow. One is that Mario is going to be giving a lecture tomorrow morning, and Carissa is going to be giving a lecture as well. This is an additional thing that... And you're going to teach the book. The book test. The book production. Remember that book production she did, you know, at the beginning with the sack? She's going to be teaching that, which is an original idea over there of hers, which is fantastic. So she'll be talking about that. And that's at high noon, or what time is your lecture? Yep. Okay. So I'm just telling you that if you want to check out of the hotel, put your things in the car, get ready to go back. But if you're driving, please wait and catch her lecture and catch Mario's. But Mario is fantastic. You know, that I just had a long discussion with him this morning, and that's going to be on an upcoming podcast soon, so about 1 hour. Try to keep these podcasts to about an hour so it's good for drive time. People who are going to work or working out on a jog or walking your dog. Not me, I don't. But anyhow, that, you know, just try to keep it to about an hour. So, Chad, you about ready over there? You're getting close. Kind of. Yes, are you getting close? Yes, okay, so that's right. You don't want to listen to my voice, you're listening to something else.
It's going to be a surprise later. Oh,
okay. Another listener. Join the 15,000 subscribers. I mean, there are people, it's amazing that I have people that are from, you know, India and Italy and all around the world and even as far away as where Chad lives. It's great. I'm going to turn this over. Ricky, you about ready to make an introduction? Then I'm going to say thank you guys very much for coming, and a big round of applause for Rick Hebert doing a great job over here. Here we are in one of the close-up rooms for the performers. Close-up performers. We've been seeing a lot of really great performers, but I wanted to get some reactions for the podcast. Now, those of you who may not be familiar with themagicwordpodcast.com, in fact, Richard, you're one of our patrons. You want explain what the podcast is about?
Sure. The podcast is for magicians by a magician. A lot of interviews, convention reports for the TAOM. He's doing daily updates of what's going on at the convention. A lot of history is collected if you have any interest whatsoever in history. Just a wonderful podcast.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I'm holding this microphone like it's you guys can hear, like in a big speaker system or something. But anyhow, no, the podcast, yeah, the thank you. That I when I'm at conventions is that we have an opportunity then to chat with a lot of people who are some talent that are performing at the conventions, and people who don't get to attend, you get the opportunity to feel as if that you're there. So it's next best thing. And then also that I have these other podcasts from time to time that feature special guests. And if they're really special, we'll do a double episode like I did with Brad Henderson, who happens to be in the front row right there, in fact. So if you go back into the archives, that you can find whomever. I mean, we have almost 500 podcasts and over 15,000 subscribers worldwide who are listening. And so anyhow, the point is that, in fact, I would recommend that you go back and listen to Brad's, because I have recommended that being one of my top 20, you know, of the last 500. I think that's really good, that we had a really great breakfast and one thing led to another, and it was for over 2 hours, so I broke it up into a couple of hours. So the people who are listening to this then today should go back and listen to that then as well. So, but aside from that, the reason I wanted to talk with you guys in this morning, or this afternoon, I guess it is, it seems like morning, having not gotten much sleep, is to find out what some of the highlights of this convention have been. So anybody, let's hear from the audience.
John Archer.
What's that?
John Archer's.
Why'd you like, what about John?
He's hilarious, and he's got very, very simple methodology.
Right.
Right?
I like that, yeah. Is there something out of the lecture that you think you're going to be doing of his?
I thought that his version of Anneman's four-envelope telepathy routine was outstanding. He used one envelope and one billet and had probably the simplest steal of three pieces of information I've ever seen.
And it fooled Penn and Teller.
A different routine fooled Penn and Teller.
Yep,
that was his Bank Knight version.
His Bank Knight version of that, yeah. Which, by the way, he was the first person to, did you mention that? The first person to fool Penn and Teller. Yeah, then as well. Other highlights? Yes, sir, what do you think?
The really
say awesome your name, first of all, I should say. That was Greg Lancaster, and say your name so this way people know who.
Chase Ingram.
Yeah.
I liked all the really awesome acts that were going on this past couple of days. It's been really fun.
The stage shows at night?
The stage shows, yeah. They're really cool.
Who'd you like best? Or what comes to mind? Not necessarily best. I mean, they're all good. But what stands out?
David Hira.
Did a great job, yeah, of emceeing the Friday night show. Very exciting. Was that pretty cool, the floating table and everything
he
did?
That was really cool.
Yeah. Anybody else? Anybody? So I'm glad you like the convention. Trixie did a good job as well.
Great kid show performer.
Michael Talon back there said, Michael Weber was really good, had a good lecture, and was had some ideas and things. I think that it was the fellow you're going to be seeing here shortly, Shane Cobalt, I think, had filled in doing an impromptu kind of lecture and filling in for Dan House that was unable to get here. I missed that. Did anybody else get to catch that?
It was excellent.
It was good?
It was a great partition from Canada.
From Canada, yes, and you're going to get to see that in just a minute. There's somebody coming first who's finishing up in the next room, which is why that I'm kind of filling right now until he gets here. I'm not going to talk that long. You can listen to me on the podcast. One person I do want to welcome, who I think needs to be recognized, is our current international president or national president of the Society of American Magicians over here, Mr. Ron Ishimuro. Hey, Ron. Let's come over here just a minute. Let me just get a quick couple of moments then with you,
sure,
since this is going to be your incoming year as president. So what kind of plans? What's happening with the SAM?
SAM, we're having good things. We're trying to have more people-oriented, more magicians in there, and trying to get you guys all welcome to the SAM, get back into the fold, getting more the art of magic in there, and trying to get more of the art of magic is what they're talking about, the feelings, not doing the tricks, but just getting the feeling of what we're talking about, getting the awe, getting the extending the feeling of awe to everybody.
Right. Now, Ron has come all the way then from, I say all the way, he's from Hawaii, which I think is, he's the first Hawaiian president, I guess, the same
as I am. Yes, I am.
And so does anybody have any questions about the SIM? And how many people here, by the way, are members of an assembly or the SIM? Just raise your hands. Looks like about half. That's good. The rest of you that you have applications with you? So.
Oh, of course, right here.
So there are a lot of things. How many years the SIM has been? 100?
102.
102.
I think more than that. It's since 19. I can't remember.
It's been a while.
It's been a while.
That's right. Well, I don't remember the first convention myself.
102 is because I'm the 102nd president, so okay. It's been a bit longer than that.
At least that.
At least that, right?
Yeah, that's right. Well, Houdini was the first president, wasn't he?
He was the first president, and okay. He had it for many years, several years. So
who are some of the places that you plan to visit during your tenure?
This year, I'm going to go, after this, I'm going to go to Chicago for. We're going to have a summertime Chicago, then L.A. again, down to the Magic Castle. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have, our national council meeting in L.A. Mm-hmm. And Chicago, probably down to the East Coast. Not too sure where,
okay. But
the East Coast.
Are you going to be going to some other conventions then as well, each of these locations?
It's not up in the air right now. So okay. Maybe if I go around the world, I'm going down to Blackpool.
Okay.
So it might be fine because I was at FISM in Pusong, and that was very awesome, very entertaining and very... very modern. So,
well, did you learn some ideas or things you might take from that convention that could be applied to the SIM?
Well, yes, it's always learning. You know, you're always learning something new, and it's very invigorating, very exciting there. It was such a nice youth movement over there. I think like more than half the people there were under the age of 50.
Wow.
I mean, wow, there was that much excitement there. The lights, the music, and also all the magic. A lot of CGIs over there, you know, a lot of computer graphic initiatives in
right.
there. Beautiful.
Right. One of the things, too, by the way, of course, the IBM and SAM conventions have been typically around the July, 4th of July weekends or everything, and next year you guys are changing radically.
Yes, so next year we will not have a convention. We're going to have it in January 2020 in Las Vegas, and we hope to see you there.
Right. And Las Vegas is always a great place for a convention, but rather than trying to compete with Magic Live and Genie and everything else that's going on in the summertime, of trying to encourage people, because you've had your conventions in Las Vegas in the past.
In the past, yes, sir.
It's been successful.
It's been successful, and like you said, not to compete, but we've been listening to all our members and the people in the public. They wanted something different, something shorter maybe, not a full five-day convention or having mini convention and off years, too.
Yeah.
So off time, too. So we're doing January.
So you guys have really a very great opportunity right now to make some suggestions that he can take back to the council or things that they can improve on or add to or incorporate, not only in the convention but also in the organization. Are there any suggestions or something perhaps that you've learned from your convention experiences of when you've attended conventions out there that you'd like to share or what you'd like to see? Yeah, what would you think?
That you should come back next year.
Should come back next year. Okay. But are there things that should be changed? I mean, that typically this has been kind of a conventions have been cookie cutter from the standpoint of lectures, performances, contests, and things like that. Anything that anybody would suggest? What's that? Workshops, JD? Okay.
Masterminds, workshops, places to actually work and develop your craft as opposed to watching someone else perform.
That's a good idea. Brad, you are a very creative guy. I know you said that you got some ideas kind of cooking. What do you think? Anything?
Well, that's a thanks for putting me on the spot there, Scott.
No,
yeah, creative. I think you mean opinionated is what you're really trying to say. You know, I think that we have to really reevaluate what magic conventions mean, because with the internet, we can see almost every act that we want whenever we want from the comfort of our own home without even having to put on our pants. So I think the conventions have to really work to provide something more than just a moment to see somebody's act we haven't seen before, because we have access to that. And I think really the future of the magic convention is moving away from just the showcase of talent to really focusing on the end user's experience. Because while we spend so much time and effort on the programs and the shows and the lectures, most of our experience that we really take home and talk about is what happens in the middle of those times. Mm-hmm. So to really focus on creating an experience that is as intentional when out of the showroom as it is into the showroom is, I think, is really what the future of magic conventions need to consider.
Yeah, that's very good. And also, yeah, to wear your pants when you come to conventions.
Yeah. I knew I forgot something. Guys, I'm so sorry about that.
Well, just, a few ideas. There you go, then,
yeah,
Ron.
Great. So. And also, not only about convention, about your assembly meetings or meetings that you have in general, how can we improve it to have more of the young folks in there?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at this convention, we see a few, but not many.
Right.
You know, we don't see many. The younger guys engaged in and haven't attended conventions.
Well, the SAM has been very involved with the youth, with the SYM.
Yes. SYM,
yeah.
Yes.
And do they have some plans or things?
Yes, we always have a day or two for the young magicians to come and programs for them, mm-hmm. and opportunities for them to learn, to have fun, to learn their craft there and meet some other magicians.
So I'd encourage each of the assemblies, if you don't have programs for the youth, that you might have something in which that maybe at least 1 month out of the year that you can contribute, saying this is going to be our youth month, and try to encourage them to come and have parents bring their children, boys and girls. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And what is the age for membership? How young can you join?
7 years old.
Seven.
For the SYM is 7 to 17 for the younger group, and then after that it's the adults.
Okay, you had to be 17 to be in the SAM then.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Actually, 18.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
that'd
be it.
Good. Okay. Any other questions? Thank you, guys.
Thank you. And anytime you have a question or anything you want to input to me, I'd be willing to listen. I'm all ears.
And your email address is?
Email is R Ishimaru. Can you spell that?
Everybody, yeah, spell Ishimaru.
It's R-I-S-H-I-M-A-R-U at magicsam.com. To make it easy, see me and have my card. So,
and he's in the dealer's room, by the way, then, which the dealer room, I believe, closes tonight at 6.
That's right.
And not going to be open then tomorrow. So, you know, the last few minutes or few hours to make your purchase, final purchase down there. Thank you, Ron.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming.
Appreciate it.
All right. Well, that kind of wraps up in this room. I just wanted to kind of let you guys know what's going to be happening. As I said, you can hear this and a lot more stories and things that with my daily updates. I haven't been getting any sleep. I've been getting 3 or 4 hours every night. I've been going back to the room putting these together. So hope you appreciate it and have an opportunity to go back and download some of that. Going to be coming up then next. They finished in the other room over there, Carissa? Is he finished in the other room? Okay, good. So he's going to be coming over here. So I'm going to wrap up. So for the Magic Word Podcast, this is room number C.
Yay, C! Yeah,
he's
no good. Hey, they're the worst.
This is a Magic Word Podcast. This is Scotty out. So we're kind of in between the close-up shows then right now. We just, of course, we're in one of the close-up rooms and talking with some of the audience there a minute ago. But one of the performers who's walking between the rooms is Caleb Wiles. I got him here with me now. Hi, Caleb.
Hey, how's it going?
Fantastic. And I, so you were... How many years did you write for Genie?
I wrote for them a couple of years in a row, I think. So I think it was a couple of years back. So maybe 2015, something like that. Yeah, something like that.
And what was one of your favorite articles or something that you enjoyed?
My favorite thing about the column was that it was called Ringside, and it was a sort of a ringside seat to my creative process. So mm-hmm. I got to sort of take the convention experience where you're sessioning with people, and I would put things into the magazine that weren't, you know, sometimes they were complete routines I'd done for years and had a new idea, and I wanted to see if anybody else had something to pile on. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it was just the germ of an idea, and I would publish it. So getting correspondence back and forth between people who read the articles or said, oh, yeah, I do it this way, and, you know, helping to improve my magic while also sort of having a fun conversation was sort of the gist of it.
But was there something, though, that you had received from somebody that's like, oh, this was a good article. You need to go back and look at this month's or something, that you had a favorite?
Yeah, so the trick that I ended up doing on Penn & Teller Fool Us, the original version of that I actually published in the magazine for free before I did it on the Penn & Teller thing.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, so I published that. It was a trick I'd been doing for years in lectures, and I liked the trick and thought the magicians would like it. And then the TV producers, I submitted a totally different trick, and they saw a video of me doing that one. They liked the premise of it. So they said, oh, we want you to do this trick. And by then it was already out sort of in the magic world.
That's kind of funny. Yeah, that's unfortunate because usually things like that aren't out, for an example, because that way Penn & Teller, they might say, well, I've already read this or heard this.
Yeah.
You know, they're pretty well read.
Pretty well read. So the cool thing about it, though, was that once I knew I was going to do that trick on TV, I got all my friends together, the Brain Trust, and, you know, for a couple of months we said, okay, what if we were going to make the absolute best version of this? So, you know, little things like the old version, the spectator couldn't shuffle. The new version, she could shuffle. And adding little features that eventually made it television worthy.
for those who don't remember your performances, explain what the effect was.
Yeah, so the effect is actually the longest trick that's ever been on Penn & Teller. It's the antithesis of anything you would expect for a TV trick. You deal through the deck multiple times. It's, you know, a procedural trick. But the thing that the producers liked that I think turned it into something that was cool for the show was that the premise was I designed a trick for Allison to do. So I came out there and I sort of led the proceedings along and kept the energy going and led the procedure, but the deck was out of my hands the whole time. There's little instruction cards in the deck that reference Allison. Hey, you're doing great. Now cut the deck into three piles and things like that. So eventually she was able to get the credit for finding Penn's card.
There's
kicker endings galore, but that was sort of the premise of the trick.
And so what was it that they said? I remember watching this. It was just this year.
I think it was two years ago or last year or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I had binged it, actually. I had missed it, so I must have just seen it the same way.
Yeah. I didn't fool them. People online always ask me, like, you know, there's parts of the trick, so I have to force a card, and then I reveal the card. But in between those two things, there's a shuffle, and the deck is out of my hands. So the part of the trick is, how do I force the card?
Right.
And then part of the trick is, well, how do you keep the cards in the right order so that things will work out in the end? So they only address the part where how I force the card, which I thought was in the realm of fairness. That's a big part of the trick. So I said, oh, yeah, I didn't fool you. And then I always get people at conventions saying, oh, you should have pushed them a little bit. You should have asked them, how did I control the card? But so in a way, I kind of wonder, like, if I would have pushed them, did they know it? In my mind, I think they probably would have known that part too. So just like, you know, I wanted to come off as a good guy. I didn't want to, you know, have any kind of confrontation. I love the show. I love those guys. So I was just happy to be on the show.
And as far as beforehand, whenever they film all this, that they had called you the nerdist, or what was it?
So on the spot, they made me call myself the Puzzle Master Magician.
That
is my only regret on the show. I did not want to be called that. And he says, well, if you can come up with something better in the next 15 seconds, we'll use that. And
whose idea was that? They threw it at you or what?
Just the producer, when you're doing the interview segment, and he says, we want you to have a title. You're the Puzzle Master Magician. And I said, I don't know if I really like that. You know, I do a Rubik's Cube piece in my show, but I'm not a puzzle master.
Yeah.
Since then, my sort of moniker for my name and my show has been Super Nerd, and I go, man, I wish I would have just called myself the Super Nerd back then, I live and learn.
Now, the producers, I know that Johnny Thompson and Mike Close are involved, and who are some of the people who are involved with this?
Yeah, so I worked, I had known Brent Braun before that, but I know he's helped a lot of people on the show. He doesn't work for the show, but a lot of people go to him for advice and consulting, and he's helped a lot of people on the show, so he has a good base of experience for how to help you do well, and he thinks about things that I wouldn't have thought about. You're so focused on the trick, and then you get there, and most of the time is spent on your biography, your B-roll footage.
Oh, really?
Things that have nothing to do with your actual trick, and those are things that I know for myself I hadn't thought of as much before I got to Vegas.
So if somebody's actually going to get an opportunity to be on there, what type of advice would you say to be prepared for what?
I would definitely focus a lot of my time on the bio video because as Brent, you know, has taken advantage of and told me, you know, with the guys he works with, is you want to put on there what you want to be, right? You want to, that's what people are going to, you know, give you credit for. So if you want to be a corporate magician, then you better look like a corporate magician when you make that bio video. And you don't want to, you know, be doing tricks for kids.
This is the bio that you're sending to them?
No, you film it while you're there.
While you're there, okay.
Yeah, while you're there. So you'll spend, you know, 2 days working on a bio and B-roll, and then, you know, an hour of basically... Oh, we're almost called for the show. Okay.
About 2 minutes? 3 minutes. Okay, there we go.
So then, like, you know, your rehearsal for the show might be an hour, and then you spend, you know, 3 hours with the producer, and then you're out somewhere. I pitched doing a Rubik's Cube, so I took, I don't know, 200 Rubik's Cubes, and I spelled out the Penn & Teller Fool Us logo. Mm-hmm. So they took me to Planet Hollywood, and they roped off the restaurant section, had a cool background. They had, like, multi-camera shoots, and you know, tourists are walking by thinking, what the heck is going on? Why are they filming this guy doing all these Rubik's Cubes? But it made like a cool, you know, visual for the show.
Because I wondered if perhaps they had a studio or something, or if you film much of it there at the Penn & Teller Theater, but it was outside.
I think everybody does something different, so they just kind of come up with a story for you.
And if somebody wants to, some people have asked me, saying, hey, you know, what is the address? Who do I talk to? Or I've got an idea, you know, and so your suggestion might be to talk to Brent.
Brent could definitely help push you along to the right people.
He's the one who seems to be the most noticeable. He attends conventions. He's involved, of course, the Penguin.
He's very easily, first of all, a very approachable guy, a brilliant guy, and then you can just find him everywhere. So.
Because I know that Mike Close is up in Canada, and he's not around a lot, and Johnny's got a ton of stuff. He's hard to get hold of time. So. Get hold of
Brent. I would recommend
Brent.
That.
Yeah. But they had kind of pulled you, is that right?
Yes. Well, so there was a guy who wanted to submit my trick to the... to the show, and I thought, wow, maybe I should set my own trick. So I contacted Brent, and he put me in touch with them, and then they said, actually, we like this other trick, and that's sort of how the whole thing got started. Cool. So,
well, congratulations, at least for being on there, and also for being at the convention. You like a TOM?
Yeah,
having fun
it's great. My first year here, and it's amazing.
Looks like you're getting ready.
All right. Looks like it's my
Thanks
turn.
Again. Thanks all right. Lot. For the Magic Word Podcast, that was Caleb Wiles. Scotty out. Well, it is Sunday night and the last full day of the convention, which is day number, I don't know if this is day number three, I guess, if you kind of look at it that way. Yes, it would be day number three. Here it is September the 2nd, I believe. And just finished the close-up shows, professional close-up shows, and also have just finished the lecture that we just had with Kyle and Misty Knight. And so that's what we've got as my guest then right now. Hello there, Kyle.
Hello, how you doing?
Good, Misty, how are you?
Hi, guys.
And I'm glad you guys are here, and that this is your first TOM?
Or? Yeah. This is our first TOM. T-A-O-M.
Yep.
And
still learning how to pronounce it.
Yeah, exactly. It's a little tongue twister for you, isn't
it? It's been really fun for me because I'm from Mississippi originally. I've been in Vegas for 15 years with Kyle, but I'm a Southern girl, and it's been really nice.
You don't have a Southern accent.
Really?
No, not me. Not
people
like...
say it's coming back, though, the longer I'm here in Texas.
Well, if you stay here much longer, you could get that back, that's for sure.
But I'm appreciating all the hospitality.
There you go. Appreciating. There you go.
Oh, I never lose that word.
I'm fitting. Fit into
That's
appreciate.
Not even close. Oh, gosh.
All right. Well, I'm a Yankee, so.
So you guys just finished a lecture, and so for those people who had missed what the lecture was about, tell a little about what you were discussing.
This was actually our first lecture that we
of
did.
This nature.
Of this nature. We've talked before more informal things about cruising and different things like that, but this actually had, we taught some things. We taught some props and some close-up magic and some stage stuff. And
stuff that we
some
did
mind reading
TV.
Stuff, yep. And we actually put a challenge out to people to figure out one of our tricks that we didn't expose but we performed on television. Mm-hmm.
The one that we actually did on Wizard Wars where we won the whole thing in our final routine where we vanished one of the judges' rings and it reappeared inside of an egg, which was completely solid. There was nothing to see, and that's what fooled the judges, including Penn and Teller, and won the whole thing for us. And we gave away our version of how we vanished the ring to the people in the lecture today, and then the tip of it was how we got it into the egg. And we gave that challenge to people, and nobody guessed it today.
Yeah. That would be something that was going to be, you'd fool them. I think it was pretty cool. But did you go back and do Penn and Teller Fool Us? Have you done that?
They invited us to do Fool Us the next season. We were we did Wizard Wars first, and then the producers called us, and we were on Fool Us season two.
I saw you on there.
Yeah, we did. They wanted an illusion specifically because there was so much close-up magic on the show. So we decided to do the ring escape, which is, it's not a box or anything. It's something a little bit different, and that's what we performed on Fool Us.
Oh, I remember that. That's right. That's the ring escape.
Yep. And to be honest with you, and Teller, I mean, we said that they got it right, but he did not get it 100% right. He did a drawing. It wasn't exactly correct.
He identified the area where the method is, but it wasn't exactly in the same way that he drew it, but it definitely
just,
wasn't
But that just makes me feel better that it wasn't 100% right, but they got it right.
Oh, come on. We
got
knew
the general idea. That's right. Eventually.
Well,
what do they have,
like
60 seconds, or so? That was a question. I wonder about that whenever that, Allison's up there, when you see the edited television part of it, how much time that they actually have?
They actually talk sometimes for like 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. We were up there just interviewing. Jonathan Ross was the host when we did it. It was the first time they came over to the States in the second season. And we talked with him for a long time while they were conversing.
I think that sometimes, though, I mean, we've been to every single season. We live in Vegas and we sit in the audience
and
watch.
We make cameo
appearances. We're kind of the joke of...
Spot Misty and Kyle.
Yeah, Spot Misty and Kyle. Let's take a shot
if
every time
you see. If you look in this current season, in about half the episodes, you'll see us right behind Penn's right shoulder.
Yes, we're in the audience almost every season. They can keep on using our shots because we know the producers.
They get a kick
so
out of it.
So it's funny.
You're pretty people.
They put us up front, and it's always a funny thing. But there's sometimes we're talking for like 10 minutes about things. And they could be not only trying to figure out the method, but they're also figuring out clever ways of disguising the fact that they are
trying to tell what
lingo they can use to describe
the
magician.
Because the way that they revealed the secret to us was written on a piece of flash paper. And then he said, here's the secret. Now we've told you, and now we're going to make it vanish. So it made for good TV.
Right. That's what I was thinking. And so, anyhow, I remember like in Wizard Wars, which I think was only two seasons. Was it two seasons?
Two seasons. Yeah. We were on the second season.
We were the only one to win the second season, so.
You mean the only one to win the second season?
There were, I think, 8 or 9, maybe 10 episodes of the second season where two different teams would go in head-to-head. The winner of those two teams would go on to compete against the Wizards, who had this big group of Magic consultants.
I was
going to
say, didn't you have
them?
Like Greg Wilson and was it Ossie
Wind?
Well,
the Wizards were in a second season. It was Billy Kidd, who's a really great magician. She's from Canada. Justin Flom, David Shimshi, and Greg
and
Wilson.
We were up against.
And in addition to them, they have a team of consultants that were there working with them to make it even harder to beat them. And we were the only ones that did the whole second season.
And Justin's our friend, and same with Shimshi, so we hate it. He hates it. We rub it in every chance we can that we still beat him. So
he's our good friend, though. He's great.
Shimshi? Yeah,
no, Justin and Shimshi.
Justin live in?
Justin's in Tennessee right now. Okay. Yeah, he's in Nashville.
I think he still has a house.
He has
in
a house
or
in
something
Vegas,
like that.
Right. And didn't he just have a Netflix show? Is
no,
that the
you're
one?
Thinking of Justin.
I'm thinking of Justin Willman,
which is a great show.
You're talking about Justin Flom. Sorry,
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, Justin Flom. But Justin Willman is doing Magic for Humans, and if you haven't seen it yet, it's on Netflix and it's fantastic.
I binged it whenever
Isn't
I
it
I watched once.
The
that's
Invisible
great. Watch
Man
the next
episode.
One.
Episode.
Oh, I haven't seen it. Don't tell me
you
yet. I haven't seen that one yet. Okay. And then Invisible Man is. I've been. That was in the back of like a Paul Harris book or something like that, and it was like a hidden secret that nobody thought, oh, that would never work, and I've seen it done a couple times
And we actually saw Michael Carbonaro's live show in Vegas a few months ago, and he performed it on stage. Hmm. So I believe that he was already working it out for his show, too, to be filmed soon. So it's a good effect for sure.
That's pretty cool. And so, again, the other kinds of things you were talking about, this is the first time that you've actually lectured the two of you and everything. I've got to say, you know, that when I've been talking to people then over the last, well, yesterday, all day today about, you know, what are some of your favorite or highlights and things that they were saying, you know, that Kyle and Missy, you know, were really great. They just love the show. It's almost like I have to prime the pump to get some other people, you know, what about, so, oh, yeah, that was great or whatever. But, I mean, yours was an easy name that they can kind of remember.
That's awesome. Yeah. We were kind of nervous about performing this. We don't really perform too much at Magic Conventions and with our peers and this new version of the show, and it was a lot of things happened went wrong actually during the show that I don't think the audience
Not
knew
that it appeared.
I handed out just tell a quick story I handed out Rubik's cubes to the audience members, and I got one of the cubes back
broken.
And not only broken but misplaced when he tried to fix it.
And so I'm doing this blindfolded Rubik's cube solve, and there was a piece in the cube that was turned so you could not solve the cube, so I had to resolve the cube
while blindfolded
make it in an
more
impossible thing, and it was like it could not have been worse in front of all my peers, and so like I was just like dying inside.
I didn't even know that you had to
people
go
don't know
that.
How difficult actually it was on there.
Yeah, it was like it was four times more difficult than it was. I normally have to act like it's difficult, but this was actually really difficult.
Well,
was
I
real
didn't
sweat
even know.
Was
yeah, it was
on.
Real sweat that was coming out of me.
You done good.
Yeah, so that was you know, interesting experience, and we just had a great time here. And
but we for many years in our career together, we were performing mostly just illusion shows, you know, that would be in road cases that you'd need chipped over. But in the last couple of years, we've developed this new show that packs into suitcases, and it's allowed us to work in a lot of different venues that we normally wouldn't. And that's part of the lecture that we just did, too, talking about what our key to success has been is versatility and adaptability and being able to change and roll with it and still stay true to our own character, but do it for different demographics and different venues. Mm-hmm. And that's part of it, being able to do this smaller show that still plays big. And
it does play big. I mean, one thing, like with the puzzle, it's Squire puzzle, is it? Or what's it called?
I don't know the name of it, to
we
be
call
honest
it Ours Nothing's Impossible. We've been doing it since
there's
2009.
There's a lot of different versions out there.
The guy's name, I think, was Squire, I want to say, who had invented the puzzle. But I recently saw you do that someplace else, and I was telling somebody, it was it at the IBM convention, or where did
we
you?
Did perform
we
it
did
at
perform
IBM
it
as well.
IBM,
okay.
Yeah.
It's one of kind of our signature pieces, you know, because it showcases the two of us together. And we've been doing it since 2000.
Well scripted and everything, which obviously your whole show is very well scripted in the way that you kind of play together. And we were just discussing that before that I started recording, and that is, you know, people like Jeff and Tessa Evison and some others, you know, who are mentalists are on stage, and, you know, the way that they can kind of talk, Christian Painter and Catalina, for an example, you know, been talking back and forth, that they have a good repartee, and also that it's a smooth transition when one hand's off. And I think at a good point, I think someone mentioned, is like when you're finishing one thing, that she's starting another, you know.
Right.
So
we pay close attention to our
transitions.
There's
kind of an overlap between the transitions. Transitions are more important than most people think, you know, and it really makes the momentum and the feel of the show flow, so it's an important factor.
Right.
I'm glad you guys had come to see us, and I'm anxious also for the people in Houston to get a chance to see you, because I really want to have you come and work at the Magic Island.
Hey, Magic Island! So excited. That's one of my first real gigs was at
the
islands.
Right. You'll get to come, Missy. That's right. You've never been there.
No.
I'm a little bit afraid.
We've calmed down a lot since then, so.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it's a lot different. It'll be a lot different, I guarantee. Guaranteed.
I got to meet Scotto while we were here.
Yeah.
So,
did you? Yeah, it's the first time you met
him?
Yeah,
I've heard so much about him over the years, and I know he, you know, was really helpful to a lot of the performers coming through there, and so it was nice to meet him.
Yeah, like Chip Romero and others were saying, you know, that you started my career. I mean, they owe
him
a lot.
No, I agree. I say that don't I say that all the time?
Does,
I say Scotto was kind of the beginning of the career and really helped out
much. Scott Hollingsworth.
Scotto, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And, yeah, he was down there doing a lot of stuff. So, anyhow, it's going to be a lot of fun. And so for those people who are enjoying the conversation I'm having now with you guys, you have to come back then later because whenever you're going to be here for a couple of weeks, then we got all the time in the world and we can actually sit down and do a longer, proper, more lengthy and in-depth type of a chat about the careers and things. So thank you guys very much for coming. And so from here, you head for back out to sea or what?
We got a couple weeks back in Vegas, and then we have a cruise on Royal Caribbean. And then
we don't even know. It's so many things.
Then we have a show in New York City at Monday Night Magic. And then we go on Disney cruises for the month of October. And then we're at the Magic Castle in December. Okay. So,
are you booking yourself or you have an agent? That
We have an agent for certain things.
Cruises. Right.
Yeah. Just for the cruises. But Misty does pretty much all the other.
Everything else is direct through me.
I don't even like to know where I'm going, actually, until literally 2 days before. I don't really know. She just does all that.
It cracks me up when people ask him about our schedule, and he's like, I don't know.
I don't know what to pack. Whether it's long pants or short pants. I don't know where we're going.
How many socks do I need? That's all I ask. How many pairs of socks do I need? How many days am I going to be gone?
But we just had a show in Vegas. We actually headlined in Vegas at the Suncoast Casino 2 weeks ago.
And that was a challenging thing because we did a 75-minute show, and we found out literally 2 days before that we had no curtains of any kind. So it was an open stage.
All open stage.
With no video screens and no camera. So everything, you know, everything was just pulled out from underneath us like right at the last second.
So we had enough material that it wasn't an issue for us to structure the show with paying close attention to those transitions so that if something was being set and struck on stage but in front of the audience, we would do something else to cover that moment to make it cleaner. Mm-hmm. And because we have so much material now outside of the Big Illusions, it wasn't an issue. We were able to do 75 minutes, and it was happy. We actually, it was a good show for us in Vegas. We had a lot of friends and peers and producers there. We actually had John, you know, the Property Brothers?
Sure do.
Yeah. Jonathan Scott.
He loves magic.
He was on stage.
He was a Magic Live.
Yeah, he was a magician as well. And he jumped at the chance to come on stage and help out in the show. And he was actually holding my neck down during the song.
That's funny. All right, well, listen, good luck. And you're kind of finished. You get to relax for the rest of the convention now tonight. Now this is your thing's all over. Yep, you can start taking, hopefully, not many notes back. Hopefully you sold a lot of stuff then at the lecture then as well.
We did great. Everything. We're happy with the whole experience here.
We did good feedback. This is a good opportunity for us to get to try out this new lecture and
maybe take it to another convention.
That's the idea.
Know. So if you book conventions, they're Kyle and Misty Knight.
That's KNIGHT. And that's nightmagic.com?
Yeah. That's nightmagic.com. Thank you.
There we go. Got to get in the plug. Thank you guys very much.
All right.
This is Scotty out.
All right.
Well, we just finished the evening gala show, and there's still, believe it or not, tonight, two more lectures left to go, and then we're going to be having the President's Party, which is a superhero party theme, and the person who closed the act for the whole weekend was none other than John Archer. Hey, John.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm so lucky to have you over here with me for just a minute, because I know you're on your way back up the room to do kind of relax for a minute and maybe not have to worry about anything else at this point.
No, that's right. Yeah. We just I think the show ran a little bit late, so we're gonna rush to see Xavier's lecture now.
Yeah, that's right. Xavier Spade. I think is that who's gonna be lecturing right now.
Yeah, he's gonna be lecturing.
That's right.
But maybe on these YouTube stuff. I'm not sure where he's lecturing on.
Now we have had the TAOM. You've been here twice. This is your second time.
San Antonio was the other one.
This was one. Yeah. Right. Right. And you like it so much you had to come back then again.
Yeah. Well, when they asked me, I loved the last time in San Antonio, and I knew some of the guys that were going to be here, so it was great to sort of see Chad and Michael Weber and people again, and you obviously.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
So it was just it was a no brainer for me. They asked me and we made it work. So
that was great. Now, is this the actor part of it that you do when you're traveling with Tim Vine, by the way?
No, actually, the stuff I'm doing with Tim Vine are two totally new things that I've literally just been doing on tour with Tim, so I'm working on them. So one of them is it's a variation on a McCormickle deck, but using drinks and a drink which changes, a bottle of drink that changes. So, and then the other one is it's it's sort of a national lottery prediction with the audience, but it's it's not really a lottery. I predict the date rather than the date of the numbers rather than the numbers. So,
right.
But there's lots of comedy in it. So so those are the two things I'm working on the tour. Because the tour is a great way for me to, with no real pressure, try new stuff out. And also have Tim with me on the road. So, you know, Tim and our tour manager, who's called Jobbins, they, you know, they just throw things at me and say, oh, well, that didn't work. Why don't you try that? So it's a real good chance for me to spend a year honing two new routines in. So that's what I'm doing.
Right.
The things I did tonight were pretty standard stuff.
That
I mean, my streets book test, which I've been doing for a while,
right.
Although I slightly messed up today. Took the wrong crib pen out of my thing, so wrote down the wrong street. But I think I got away with it. And then the other one is the Laura Buxton thing, which I've been doing for about 4 or 5 years now. It's based on the Pat Page soldier's card trick,
Because someone was just asking me about the book test, because this guy was saying, I'm going to be doing something with a travel agency here along. He said, is that available? And I said, I think it's through Vanishing
Ink. It is Vanishing Ink. Sell it. Yeah, Vanishing Ink sell that. They sell my envelopes. A new version of Collard they're going to be bringing out either later this year, early next year, I'm not sure. So, yeah, they sell most of my stuff now.
My
DVDs, I think, are probably out of stock now. I don't think anybody does them anymore, so...
Well, now I guess it's a digital download like they did with the Penguin
I think they are available from... I think lots of dealers have my old lecture DVDs. So there's two of those and then a blindfold one.
Different stuff that's on those DVDs than what was in the Penguin? Or?
Some of the stuff's different. Some of the stuff is the same. But some of the stuff on the Penguin thing was that old stuff that I've now got new wrinkles sorted out and, you know, variations, just twists and turns on the Penguin thing.
Right. And as far as the... that goes, I would say that people should go to Penguin and download your lecture.
Go to Penguin, download the lecture, and Vanishing Ink, go and have a look. They've got a page for some of my stuff there as well, and probably downloads for the old DVDs. So, yeah.
Yep. So you've been happy overall? I mean, like with the whole start and finish and everything's been going well?
I've had a great time. I mean, I like magic conventions, and it's sort of... I like them when I'm abroad, magic conventions, because you sort of, when you're in the UK, you see the same people over and over again, which is nice, and you see old friends. But coming here, you see people you want to see every few years, so it's a chance to catch up with a few people, and you know, and the food and the culture's different. So
We have different tasting. Our barbecue here is different than barbecue over in the UK.
Well, I had some Tex-Mex for lunch today, and it was fantastic. Yeah. It was just amazing. Like nothing we get in the UK when we try and get
Tex-Mex.
Of course
not. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting also that you said that whenever you're traveling in the UK, it was like, 45,000 miles or something? And what do you say?
That's what I do in a year. I do about 45,000.
It's not that big of a country, but obviously you're zigzagging back and forth.
Yeah, I'm doing a lot. And of course, in the UK, you're rarely, I can't really fly because I just carry a lot of props. So you're rarely flying in the UK if you're an entertainer, unless you're going from the bottom to the top and, you know, you need to be there quick. Most people drive to all the gigs, so...
Yeah.
You tend to do a lot of miles.
Well, I'm glad that you came, and I'm glad that we had a chance to chat, you know, towards the end over here, and also at the beginning that people are going to get to enjoy a lot more of John later whenever that you hear the full podcast that we had recorded at length that will be broadcast at a later date. And so I'm glad you had a chance to chat.
You play my ukulele and singing while drunk. Have you got that on tape?
Actually, I do.
All right.
We're having a martini.
You could blackmail me with that.
No, it was excellent.
And the party tonight, of course. There's the party tonight. So I'll see you there.
Yes, indeed. We will. So thank you very much, and I'm glad that you came, and safe travels. We're looking forward to see you in Magic Cuba.
Yeah, Magic Cuba coming in November. I'm looking forward to that as well.
That's
going to be great, I think.
We'll be seeing a lot of me.
Yeah, I know. But I don't mind.
That's good. That's great.
I like seeing you, Scott.
Yeah,
that's
wonderful. Good. Thank you, John. I appreciate it. So with the Magic Word Podcast, that was John Archer. This is Scotty out. Well, okay, so we're still kind of meandering around a little bit, and one of the other performers on this evening was Shane Cobalt. Hi there, Shane.
Hey, Scott, how are you doing?
I'm fantastic.
Good.
And, you know, it's a pleasure to actually meet you. I've not had the pleasure until that you had come, you know, here, and there was somebody actually had texted me and said, you need to get Shane Cobalt on the podcast.
Oh, wow, that's kind.
I want to hear his voice, and, you know, that we could probably sit and talk for a long time.
I have a face for audio, so this is perfect.
That's what they tell me about me, face for a podcast. And so you had lectured. Actually, they've used you a lot.
Yes.
We got our money's worth on you.
Yeah, certainly.
And you came from Vancouver, is that right?
I actually came from...
Toronto?
I flew in from Los Angeles, actually. Yeah. I spend very little time back home in Toronto.
Toronto, yeah.
But Toronto is home. Toronto is home, yeah.
Isn't that where Carissa is? Isn't she?
Carissa Hendricks is in Calgary, Alberta.
Okay, you're right. Further on over.
She's a little bit west. Yeah, okay, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm in Ontario, so I'm just north of New York.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you do a lot of work down in New York and also in consulting? And
honestly, I don't really work a lot in North America. I do most of my work. I'd say 95% of my work is all in Europe. Mm-hmm. I'm just back here because this is home.
With who or for who or doing what?
Where? In Europe?
In Europe, yeah.
It's a great question. I learned at a very young age that there's a single question you don't answer in magic, and it's anything about business. I learned that the hard way when I was like 18, and you sort of talked a bit too much about your gigs.
And then as a result?
As a result, the person that booked you... No, I didn't get it. As a result, the person that booked you calls you and says, hey, all these magicians started sending me their contact details.
Yeah, so
I don't talk about my business like that.
Well, that's right. And a lot of times, most guys will talk about and say, well, this is what I have done, then I've got some projects, you know, that I'm working on that I can't tell you about now.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. Unfortunately, the cool and sort of not so cool thing is a lot of the work that I do is stuff that we're unfortunately never going to see in a public. Some of it is. I mean, everything's kind of ongoing. Mm-hmm. All projects are always going to be like a year or two long. Mm-hmm. They're just long projects. And depending on what they are, some of them are like crazy stuff. But I'm always locked down by NDAs or things that I can't talk about most of the technical details.
Yeah, but
of
not
it.
Like Imagine. You're not like an Imagineer at Disney.
No. I'm not working for big companies you'd recognize. Yeah. Like, you will never see the work that I do, unfortunately, mm-hmm. unless it's in a situation sort of like this. And it's not because I don't want you to, it's because the events are so exclusive or for such small groups and it's super custom or tailored to. There's no way to get somebody else to see it, which is too bad, and we don't record it because one, I don't like video, and two, it ruins the experience and the intimacy of something miraculous.
Now, is this your first TAOM? I'm guessing that it is.
Yeah,
because I come all the time, and so I've not seen you here. So.
This is the first convention I've been officially booked for in North America.
Wow!
I should just say this is the first time I've been published on the bill of a convention in North America, which is funny.
You're so underground that there's another subterranean area underground
I'm
for
like,
you.
So if you go just below, it's like sewage pipes.
There,
it's
you're
there.
Down there.
I'm right there. I'm like 7 feet under.
So what did you think of this one? How'd you like it?
I had a blast. I mean, look, all the guys here are like friends. And the coolest thing about magic conventions is when you come to any of them, if you want to, you can sort of become part of the family. And there really is a family at every convention.
Yes.
You just choose to be part of it or not, and that's okay.
Yeah.
We all want to talk to everybody.
Yeah,
and my favorite part is people coming up and asking questions and saying, hey, I really enjoyed that, or that was a lot of fun, or can you answer this question for me, or hey, do you know anything about this?
Mm-hmm.
I love those moments. And
sure.
This convention has been extraordinary for them because we've been so accessible and it's so easy to get a hold of us that people just coming up asking mind-blowing questions. I just had a young man who was like 3 feet tall saying, hey, I've got an old VHS tape. Now, to give you context, he's so young, he called it a CD. And I was like, you have an old CD? And he goes, it's about this thick. And you can't see this, but I'm making a gesture of about like an inch and a half with my fingers. And I'm like, what CD is an... I'm like, oh, he has like a micro disc or a mini disc.
Yeah.
No, it was a VHS tape. And he was like, hey, where can I find a CD of this so I can watch this not on a VCR? And he didn't know the names of any of them.
Yes.
But what an interesting question. I never thought someone would go, hey, how do I watch a VHS tape?
Yeah, well, it's like somebody has an 8-track, you know, and they don't know how to play the music of an 8-track. You know, you used to have 8-track players in your car, you know. And,
The 8-tracks are funny, too. The old Betamaxes are funny.
I've still got an old Beta, you know, somewhere in my attic, and I probably should get rid of it. Probably, you know, the heads are bad or whatever. I don't know why I've still got it. I've still got some tapes. I think I'm going to have Doug Henning specials from way back in the 80s, I think, that I'd recorded.
A number of years ago, I met a gentleman that... his name was John T. Arledge, and he had a complete run of Magic magazines and an almost complete run of Genies,
mm-hmm.
and he was just trying to give them away.
Yeah, and you can't.
No, you could.
Oh.
But he said he won't ship them. You've got to come pick them up.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And no one would do it.
Yeah.
So I was in London, England at the time. What I did not know was he was terminally ill.
Mm.
And the reason he couldn't get to the post office was he could not get to the post office.
Physically, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So when I was in London, England, I flew back to Toronto. When I was done, I was studying over there. I flew back to Toronto, I jumped in a car, and I drove all the way to his place, and I think like South or North Carolina.
Yeah.
Is that right? North Dakota? It was a long drive from Toronto.
Yes.
Drove all the way down there. He gives me all these... We literally fill the back of an SUV with magazines.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes, oh, I've also got this. And he pulls out a milk crate full of VHS tapes.
Okay.
And I'm like, well, what is this? He goes, oh, I've been recording everything on TV since 1970.
What was his name?
John T. Arledge. He has since passed.
Yeah.
But he had this VHS collection of every special you could imagine.
Yeah.
Everything. If there was a clip of a minute of like David Copperfield's apartment, he had it.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, he had a little black book. Each tape was numbered.
That's important.
And he indexed it down to the second.
Beautiful.
if you go to this second of this thing, you'll see this. This second, I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Now, the challenge is I can't afford to spend like $1,000 converting them all. So I'm slowly digitizing. I've got all the stuff to do it. But talking back to VHS tapes.
Yeah, there was a guy in New York many years ago that I met at a magic convention, the same kind of thing. And he and I started.
What was his name?
I don't remember. And he has since passed also. I could not tell you. But if I go back and look on some of my old tapes,
because he had a sticker
on there, you know, because he said, well, I've got something, but I'll send it to you only if you've got something I don't have. And we started trading things back and forth. You know, it's kind of like, you know, collectors with posters. Well, I got an extra poster, but, you know, I'll trade this for somebody or whatever. So it was he was trading VHS of magic on television. Like, I didn't
have one special
or something. So, yeah, times have changed.
I'm sort of an underground guy, I guess. That's the reputation, I suppose. But I'm so careful. I try to be careful with information. So when you're like, we trade stuff. In my head, I'm kind of going, I don't even give book recommendations that someone else gave me. And the reason is I don't feel it's my information to give. It was given to me, not given to me to give to other people. I know it sounds crazy.
Yeah.
But
you know, one of the things that I do also like is how that you go back and you honor the past, you appreciate the past, and that
I try to.
On my bookshelf, I have, you know, everything that Caveney has published, and a lot of others. You know, some of my favorite books are going back in history. You know, you're talking about DeColta here this evening, you know. But I've got his book and another kind of things. It's just I think that we need to appreciate the rich texture and heritage that we have, you know.
I would agree. I would say one thing. In my opinion, I think that every generation of magicians is a byproduct of the books that are in print during their sort of formative magic years, from like 8 to like 30, basically.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that if you're outside of that range, you can't learn. I'm just saying those are usually the big years where you've got time to just stare at books for you know, many hours, many more hours than you should. You can call in sick and no one's going to get you in trouble, right? I remember being a kid and, like, I would fall asleep in the middle of a book, face down, wake up in the book, like, literally just keeled over, wake up with cards stuck to my face at, like, 4 in the morning, and I had to go to school in, like, 2 hours.
Okay.
That's what I was doing as a kid. And the book that I fell into was the Stuart James books. The James File, Volume 2.
James File, sure, yeah. Huge, great big
massive.
Well, it's like a pillow.
Well, yeah, let's call it that. It's like a pillow. It's like a pillow without, like, all the softness.
Softness, yeah.
But the material was incredible. So, yeah, I mean, like, I was such a, like, truly privileged child to be able to have access to those books and to have them before they went out of print.
Mm-hmm. Were they in your library, or was it?
Yeah, I have a good library at home. Okay. I'm technically a book hoarder. I have over 1,000 volumes in the library, and I used to buy collections when I was younger.
Books. And you still got them?
Yeah, good absolutely. Man. Yeah, I used to buy collections. So there's I think a little over 1,000 books
you
in the library.
Room, you need a bigger house?
No, my house is great. I've got lots of room, which is good. But at some point, I'm gonna like move to like another country or something, and be like, what was I thinking?
As much work as you do over Europe, you might eventually move over?
Maybe. You never know. I mean, honestly, I'm always open to go anywhere to do something. I'm truly a traveling magician. I spend very little time back home in Toronto, and I'm always somewhere. Like, I'm here today, tomorrow. I may still be here. I'll be here for the convention a little bit, but I think tomorrow I fly to Toronto for like a day, less than 24 hours. I drop off a bag, and I fly from Toronto to probably New York, maybe Charlotte, and then from there straight to London, England. I'm in London for a week. Yeah. And then I'm off to Paris. I'm there for a month. That's like my vacation, which is great. Yeah. And then I don't know where I am from that. I think at the end of October or end of September, that should take me back to Toronto for a hot second, then back out to LA for Halloween and stuff. And then from there, I should be flying to Europe. I think Italy. I'll go to Italy mid-November for a magic convention in Milan, which is the European Close-Up Symposium.
Okay,
run by Giacomo Bertini. Yeah, so I'll be
performing there.
Yeah, I'm appearing there, which is great. I can't wait. So Milan will be cool, and then after that, I go straight to London, England, and I've got a 1 month contract out there. So from November 15th, roughly, till December 15th, I'm going to be in London the whole time, and then I come back and spend time with my family for Christmas.
Well,
that's my couple of weeks, my holidays.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun.
It's a crazy schedule, though.
Now, is cards really your specialty and your passion, or just a little bit of everything?
Everyone wants to put me in a box.
I know.
Everyone wants to go, oh, you're a card guy. Yeah. So the answer to that question is I can be whichever guy you'd like me to be.
If you I heard you talking to talk people about stage illusions. Yeah, you're talking about stage illusions. You know, you talk about some of the cruise ship guys there last evening and give them some advice and whatever. I mean, did you get some?
Oh, yeah, we were just chit-chatting about just general work. But
my point is in general work that you have a little bit of, not a whole lot of knowledge about a whole lot of things for your young age.
I actually started with card manipulation. That was like the first sort of really serious magic thing I got into. And then I got into illusions. Those were my first things. I didn't really touch cards a lot until after that. So I kind of got good at manipulation. I did a competition act way back when I was like 13, 14. I was really young. Then Illusions, again, dominated life basically in high school. I built Illusions when I was in high school as class projects. I took every shop class, metal shop, wood shop, and I'm like, hey, I want to build magic tricks.
Yeah.
And I was a good kid. I was a smart kid, and I was good with my teachers. And they were like, yeah, do whatever you want. You know? Yeah. They had trouble, like, kids that were sort of problematic to deal with. So they were like, do whatever you want. We don't care. I'm like, great. So I built, like, suspensions. I built a bunch of Steinmeier illusions.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so illusion design and stuff, and just not design, but the illusion world is certainly my world, so is the manipulation world, and then I got into close-up magic.
Okay.
So my life, and the other thing I'd say is we have a magic shop in Toronto called the Browser's Den of Magic.
I've heard, and they've got a convention. No, but I was talking with
the Browser's Bash, yeah, in April?
Browser's Bash, right.
Yeah, the Browser's
Bash. It's before 4F.
It's a one-day convention.
How come you've never been to Feckers, by the way?
Never been invited.
Oh. I'll sponsor you.
I know. That's what everyone says. Why did you have a second? I'm like, no one's ever invited me to Factors.
Browser's Bash.
Browser has a bash in April. It's an incredible one-day convention. Mm-hmm. So if you want to travel to Canada and get a convention, and there's that. We've also got FISM coming up in 2021
right
in Quebec City, which is a number of hours away from Toronto. It's about 7-ish, I'd say, 6-ish. And then the year before FISM, we're having a North American FISM qualifiers, I believe. I think also in Quebec. I believe. I could be wrong on that. Double check that. But, so there's the Browser's Convention, there's the Montreal Convention, or there's the Quebec City FISM, and then the year before FISM, there's also pre-FISM. So there's so much of the competition stuff going on right now.
Right.
Anyway, sorry, so Browser's Den was this incredible shop as a kid growing up, and the owner, who still runs it, he's amazing, Jeff Pinsky, was kind of like a magic father figure of sorts. I'd go to the shop and spend days there, and I always begged him as a kid, let me sleep in the shop. And the reason was I just wanted to read the books. We never did it. He never let us. Yeah. But what he did do, and I think every magic shop should do this, is he let us take the books off the shelf and read them. We didn't have to buy anything.
Yeah.
He just let us read books.
Right.
So there's a little card table, and I'd sit down, I'd open
the
book.
Out of the shop, you stay there.
Yeah, yeah, they're in the shop, always in the shop. But you could read whatever you wanted in the shop
it's
as
like
one of the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the truth is, the dirty secret was, you kind of bought every book you read, because you get too invested in it. You're like, what was that thing? And you flip back, you're like, I need this book.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why I started acquiring books. I was in there, I could read whatever I wanted. I learned so much without a budget. I didn't have money to spend on it at the time. So I learned so much of it. If it wasn't for Jeff Pinsky, I wouldn't have half the knowledge that I've got. He literally changed everything. And there's reasons why certain cities often pump out a certain quality of magic. And I think it's often related to the information available to them, either a local with a great library or that one mentor guy at a club.
Right.
Or in my case, it was the magic shop owner who just gave you access to stuff that you normally wouldn't have. So yeah, that's kind of how my knowledge expanded so quickly. That's what did it. That's who helped me do it.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the lineage of my information gathering.
It's kind of like in here in Houston, you know, we've had the Houston's Magic Island for like 25 years, and we have a lot of really great close-up guys and different people who have come through, and as a result that we see other good magicians and we get a chance to really talk. And as a result, I mean, talk about the 4F convention, you know, it's an intimate thing. I remember one year, like out of about 150 registrants, that 15 people were from Houston.
Wow.
When you stop and think about this worldwide convention, you know, and everything. Well, listen, thank you very much. I'm glad that you had a chance.
Truly my pleasure, Scott. Thank you so much. Like I said, this is kind of like my first official North American convention, but
I'm glad you like it. I'm glad welcome back anytime.
I'm going to try to shift my work now to North America and just start doing more conventions here and you know, lectures and things, because it's been so fun. And you guys are so hospitable. I mean, it's been absolutely mind-blowing.
Thank you.
I could not ask for a better crowd or better people. This has really been amazing.
Great.
So, Scott, thank you so much.
You're welcome. And thanks for your time. And so for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Shane Cobalt. This is Scotty out. All right, well, the evening shows are over, and we're finally finished with that, and that tomorrow we still have a couple more lectures to go, but I'm here then with the president, or outgoing president, Jamie Salines. Good job, Jamie.
Oh, thank you. I mean, this feels like deja vu on a couple of reasons. I mean, because every year we have this convention, and every year there's no sleep. It's just a variety of entertainment. But the team has come together just fantastic, phenomenal convention.
You're happy with it?
The attendees. They got so much information, it's overload.
Yeah. And I've got Chip Romero with me also. Chip, how you doing?
Hello, Scott.
And so tell me, what were your thoughts on this?
Okay. I think that Mr. Salinas knocked it out of the park. The convention has something for everybody. Standouts for me was Michael Weber's lecture. Also, Chad Long was a big standout. The evening shows were incredible. Really and truly, they were all strong shows. The Friday night show, some people say it was the best Friday night show that they've seen in years. I can tell you this, that if the laymen were there, all three shows, there's no doubt in my mind that when they left that they quite possibly would hire a magician for their kid's birthday party. Mm-hmm. The shows were great. They went really, really well. And, yeah, that was standouts for me, though. It was Weber.
Lots of really good lectures and everything. You know, you had mentioned, incredible. We were talking earlier about Kyle and Misty Knight, for an example.
They knocked it out of the park. They knocked it out of the park. They're incredible the way they work together. Incredible.
Well, you know, speaking of laymen, that's one of the things we did with this convention. Our first four rows was exclusively for the lay audience. And that gives that energy and everything else. And then the back of the theater, we sold tickets for as low as $10. So we packed the place. It was, it was full. We were pretty much sold out, mm-hmm. but it just kept that energy going with a real audience combined with the magicians, and so it was fun for everybody.
Also, there was another convention going on simultaneously, and they were buying tickets to our show.
That's correct. Yeah,
they were asking questions. There's a convention, another convention going on, and
in the same hotel. That's right. This hotel was sold out,
and they were buying tickets for the TAOM show.
That's right. I mean, we got pretty lucky the hotel was sold out with a couple of events going on around town, and we took advantage of it
because it was a family convention that was going on here, so they had a lot of kids too.
Right. Absolutely.
And they brought some of them. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Well, one of the things I think was really outstanding, Jamie, that you did this year was to bring in some talent that are not the people who are typically the convention attendees. In other words, I was talking with Shane Cobalt, and he said, this is the first time I've been to the TAOM or any convention, you know, really in the States. And some other people who we just don't see, you know, here, or I had not heard of, you know, Xavier Spade, Caleb Wiles, some other people. I say I've heard of them, but, I mean, I haven't seen them or met them or knew them, you know, before.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, Xavier, I'm really disappointed because he and I didn't get to run to the taco truck in the hood. We were going to try to get away, but it was just so busy, so we didn't get a chance to make it. But Xavier, hey, man, I owe you a trip to the taco truck next time you're in town.
But overall, you're pleased with the team and everything that happened, the way that it came out?
Absolutely. I mean, every large event. I mean, this is our budget is over $100,000 to put on this convention. And anytime you have something that large, we're going to have some problems. And we did have a few hiccups, but everybody came together. Everything worked out fantastic. And the only complaint I had one complaint. Mm-hmm. And the gentleman says, hey, we don't have any family lecturers. And I said, well, have you checked the schedule? Because Monday is Mario the Magician. That's right, a family entertainer. Mm-hmm. So then he wasn't aware of that. And so that negative comment, now he's ready for Monday.
The only negative comments I'd heard had to do with the hotel being too cold.
Yeah.
they had the temperature cranked down, you know, quite a bit here.
That's unusual to be cold in Texas.
In Houston in particular. You step outside, it's like the humidity, boom, you know, gets you immediately.
Right, especially this time of year.
Yeah, yeah.
But things were pretty hot as far as the shows and the content.
Gosh. Yeah, yeah. They were red hot. It was really great. And they're just wrapping up now. I can hear the applause over there on Chad Long's lecture. You were talking to Chip about, liking him because he was an outstanding person, not only here, but you remember at Magic Live when he closed the close-up show at Magic Live.
Chad Long, quite simply put, is as funny as they come, and he's got chops. Mm-hmm. So while you're laughing and giggling with him, he's sitting there just kicking you in the teeth.
Yeah.
And that's what's really nice about him, because a lot of comedy magicians, you don't get that. I mean, and so with Chad, we have both, and that's not common.
Yeah,
there's great comedy magicians, but not technicians. I mean, Bill Malone comes to mind. I mean, he's a real technician that's a real entertainer.
Right.
But Chad Long is, and also, I actually said that tonight. I said, we're talking about all these great comedy magicians. I said, I think we need to put his name in there. Because he's that funny.
You know, it's funny that John Archer was over at my house, and I've got one of these posters that Stan Allen put out of the 10 greatest legendary comedians.
Yes.
And, you know, John said, I wonder why my name's not up there. I said, well, that was last century. You know?
Well, for the record, Harry Anderson's name should have been there, but I'm with you. At the time, they were 10 top acts, but I think Harry kind of paid that way for most of them. But anyway.
You know, I will have to say that during John's performance, I had to take my glasses off and wipe my eyes. I was laughing so hard.
He's an entertainer.
I mean, and he's just amazing. So all that combined, it's just awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a very different type. He's got every base covered, and we were laughing really hard.
Well, overall, I agree. I think that I think this was probably about 7 or 8 on a scale of 10. I mean, it's
a 10 for me. All my friends were here, and I learned something.
Yeah. What more do you want? Hanging out with friends and learning something. I'm taking a couple of tricks home. Nope, sorry, it's a 10 for me.
That was something that I heard a lot of people say, you know, as far as bringing not only bringing things home, but hanging out with friends. And I'm talking serious. About some of the talent. You know, when Shane Cobalt said, hey, you know, I loved hanging out with, you know, my buddies like with Chad and and other people.
Late night.
So, yeah. That's right. You know, absolutely. This is the first convention in a long time that I've been, I can count on both hands the number of hours of sleep I've had in the last three nights, you know.
I'm sorry. I fell asleep. What were you saying?
Magic Live was like that for me. But I'll tell you what. Even last night, they were out till 5:30 in the morning, and I was good till 5.
Yeah.
So no, it's been friends. But like I said, good magic that we can bring home. There's been some great magic explained and taught here.
Yeah.
I think the attendees got their convention registrations worth.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Speaking of, they're about to join us in the president's party to wrap up the bulk of it.
And you have a superheroes. Theme party
right,
tonight.
Right. It's open bar. We have food from all over. So, of course, you're listening
open
to this.
Open bar,
so
or cash bar.
It's open bar. So, oh, if you're listening
Frank
to this,
Seltzer is going to be crying when he breaks up tomorrow. He didn't want to come up because it was a cash bar. Sorry, Frank.
No, what I'm saying is, so if you're listening to this, you missed it.
Okay. Yeah. I got you. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Frank.
Free beer tomorrow.
That's right. That's right.
Should have been here and enjoyed it.
Oh, here comes Mr. Weber. We better.
Well, good job. You guys have done just a wonderful job. You and the staff and everybody, because I know it's not just a one person. I mean, I know.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So thank you, Jamie.
All right.
Thank you, Chip.
Hey, I'm glad I was walking by. I'm glad I was part of this.
Okay. Anyhow, for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Chip Romero and, of course, Jamie Salinas. This is Scotty out. Well, that wraps up the convention for day 3. This is September the 2nd, and let me also say, as I said, that day 4 actually is going to be then on Monday, in which we have a couple more activities that are happening. Mario the Maker, or Mario the Magician, is going to be lecturing, and he did a fantastic job in the show here tonight on Sunday night in the gala. And as an opening act, he opens for David Blaine, and now he was opening for us and had a he got the kids going. It was really great. So he's going to be lecturing tomorrow morning at 10:30, and I believe it's 10 o'clock, sorry. And then at high noon is going to be Carissa Hendricks, and she's going to be talking about several things, including one of the things is she, and during her show when she was as Lucy Darling, she had an original idea where she has a bag, looks like a shopping bag that is flat, and then she pops it open, and there is a full 3-inch book, a full book that's actually in there. And so she's going to teach that. She's got a ring on rope and also some other tricks and some philosophy and theory about developing character and whatnot. So that's going to be a great lecture. But rather than having another whole podcast for one whole day, in which really there's not a whole day of stuff, I'm just going to leave it at that and just say goodnight. And until next year at the TAOM, this is almost wrapping up my convention season. I've got one more convention to attend. And that's going to be, as I mentioned there a while ago, when John Archer and I were talking, that we're going to be going to Magic Cuba. That's going to be November the 7th through the 11th. And if you are interested in coming, I believe that for U.S. citizens at least, they were going to have a cutoff date, I believe, of September the 9th. So it's just right around the corner as far as registrations go. So you need to get that in if you're wanting to attend that. And that's going to be including just a whole bunch of folks, including some of those who are here today or at this convention, like Michael Weber and John Archer. But others include Ossie Wend and Mike Caveney, Eric Mead, and golly, that ought to be just another great convention. And so that'll be my last convention then of this season. So anyhow, a really great convention, a lot of fun. Gosh, on a scale of 1 to 10, it's pretty high up there. I'd say this one came in as a solid winner, definitely 7-8, as far as everything coming together, certainly. A lot of fun, well run, and a lot of people made this happen. So I want to thank Jamie Salinas as the president, as well as the rest of his team, who were able to put this together. We had like 17 dealers or so, and I know everybody seemed to be happy and did well in sales. So anyhow, that's it from Houston for this year. And I also want to thank our sponsor, theperfecttrick.com. So if you guys are looking for your purchases of magic and you don't have a brick-and-mortar magic shop that's nearby, then I recommend, obviously, you're going to have to buy it through an online dealer. Check them out. It's the newest one that's online out there. And that one thing, by the way, too, it's interesting that theperfecttrick.com is always looking for used magic, particularly if you have some sort of magic paraphernalia or something that might be collectible, that they're always looking to buy and sell and trade, I guess, some of those items as well. So you can contact them through their website as well. So I want to thank our new sponsor, theperfecttrick.com. Go check them out. So until next week, and by the way, I say next week that we're going to be having a great podcast coming up featuring Pop Hayden on this Thursday. So be sure to come back and tune into that one, in which that he's, I'll tell you right now already, it's going to be probably among my top 10 of the last 450 episodes that we've posted. This is just, I've heard it several times. It is going to be good. So come back Thursday. So until then, and from Houston and the Texas Association of Magicians, this is Scotty out.